Hi everyone, I'm Josh. Today I'd like to show you one way to build serverless applications on Azure. I'm going to deploy a small web app that I built using React. I'm going to deploy that to Azure using the HTTP hosting capability of Azure Storage. So that is the HTML and JavaScript that comprise that app will actually be served directly from Azure Storage. The app will talk to some APIs that I built using Azure Functions. And those functions, in turn, will be backed by document storage and DocumentDB. So the great thing about this, the really cool thing about this setup, is that I'm not managing any web servers, application servers, database servers. I'm not managing any of that stuff myself. The VMs are there, of course, but the management of them and even just their very existence is abstracted away from me. And all I do is I'm just simply consuming the compute resources, the storage and networking resources that I need to serve up my app. So this is really cool because it gets us closer and closer to that kind of ultimate promise of the cloud, right? Where we're not focused on infrastructure. And instead, we're just concerning ourselves with our code and our application and kind of our differentiated business problem. And that's a really, really great place to be. So. Yeah, let's take a closer look at what this looks like. All right, so the first thing we're going to need is a function app in Azure. So here I am in the Azure portal, and I'm actually going to create a resource group first just so that I can kind of have a bucket where I can put all this stuff. So I'm going to call this serverless-comments. The application that I'm building, it's actually something I borrowed directly from the React tutorial. In fact, it's an older React tutorial. I'm not even sure it's on their page anymore. But it's kind of like a simple app that lets you kind of add and remove and list a set of comments. It's not super interesting from a functionality standpoint, but it just gives us something that we can build and hook up. So we'll drill into our resource group. And now let's add an Azure function. So if we type Azure function, we'll probably have to type function app. That's better. There we go. Yes. Too many button clicks. OK, create. So we're going to create our app. We need a name for our app. We'll call this comment func. And actually, we'll call it comment func app. Good enough. All right, we'll use our existing resource group. We'll use a dynamic hosting plan, which will give us a lot of flexibility as far as scale up, scale out, that sort of thing, based upon demand. And we'll go in East US just because that's relatively close to me, and we'll keep everything in the same bucket. We probably won't need a ton of RAM. This isn't a super intensive CPU intensive app, but So we'll take 512 megs of RAM. All right, for our storage account, let's have a slightly better name for our storage account. We'll call it comment func. Say OK, and we'll create it. Okay, so my function app has been provisioned. If I click refresh here, we can see that I've got a storage account that was associated with it, as well as now I have an app service that corresponds to my function app. So that's good. So the next thing we're going to need is a DocumentDB account so that we can store data here. So let's click Add, and we'll say DocumentDB. Very good. That is the one that I want. Say Create. And what we're creating here is sort of a logical container into which we can then do things like create databases and then collections inside of databases for our DocumentDB account. So we'll give it a nice high-level name like, what do we call it? Comment func, yeah. If you're noticing a pattern here, it is not an accident. Okay, so we'll create our account. Again, this is a kind of a logical container. We're not actually creating any databases yet or anything like that. This is just a logical storage container into which, kind of like a namespace, if you will, into which we can then create some additional artifacts like databases and collections inside them. So this will just take a second. All right, cool. So through the magic of teleportation and video editing, we now have our DocumentDB account. So let's drill into there. And what we want to do is we want to create a collection to hold our data that we're going to generate, our list of comments. So I'll come up here and I'll click Add Collection, and we'll call our collection Comments. Pricing tier, we'll just go with the standard pricing tier. That's fine for now. And interestingly, we have to create a database. The sort of hierarchy of items inside of a document DB account are you have an account, and inside of an account you have one or more databases, and inside each database you have one or more collections. And so there have been some recent changes to the document DB experience here in the portal, where when you create items inside of a document DB account, you actually start with creating collections first, and then you sort of associate it with one or with a database, whether it's a new database or an existing one. So I will just call my database default, if I can spell correctly, since I'm not planning on having more than one database in here. I'm just going to need one, so I'll just use default. So now we're creating, yeah, and we've very quickly we've created our collection inside of our default database, our comments collection. All right, cool. So we've created our document DB database and our collection inside of it. So that's what we want. So we're going to need a couple of bits of information here. So before we exit out of here, let's copy the URI for our document DB account. In fact, I'm going to open up Notepad. And I'll just copy that in there so I can hold on to it. The other thing we're going to need is an access key. So we'll click on keys here, and I will just select the primary key. And again, I'll copy that. All right, good. So we're going to need that here in just a second. So what we need to do now is, before we even add any code to our function app, we'll set some configuration properties so that once we do add the code is sort of pre-configured to use these properties, and these are essentially establish the connection, or will be used to establish the connection to our document DB database. So we'll click back on the function app itself. Now, function apps are really just web apps, Azure web apps, with a kind of a thin veneer on top of them for exposing web APIs. So configuring them should look surprisingly familiar, or perhaps unsurprisingly familiar, to anyone who has configured a web app in the past, an Azure web app. So we click on Application Settings. We'll scroll down a bit, and you can see we have this App Settings section where we can add our own key value pairs. Whether this is we're going to be using Node.js code, but if you're using C Sharp and Web API or MVC or something, again, all of this works exactly the same way as what you may have already done with web apps. So I need a couple of values in here. First, I need my host value, and this is just that URI that I copied. So let me copy that, paste that in here. The next thing I need is an auth key. See, copy and paste that. Now I need database, which is the name of the database that I'm using, and I call it default. And then collection is the name of my collection. In this case, it's comments. All right, so I think I've got everything I need. Let me save this. The alternative, of course, is that I would bury these values in code, but that's really not a viable alternative. It's not a good practice. So it's much easier and much better to configure these things separately. That way we can use slots and things like that if we need to. All right, cool. So that's all done. So now that we've got our function app mostly set up, let's focus a little bit on the client side. So I've got a repository in my GitHub account, a different one called Serverless Azure Client. So the URL is here. So just you don't have to fork this repository like the other one. You can just clone it or download it. Just get it locally on your machine and open it up in a text editor. We're going to have to modify this config.js file in particular. The other file is the HTML file, of course, just defines basic layout. The example.js file really contains most of the application logic itself for invoking our Azure functions when we add or remove or need to list the set of comments that we want to display. The config .js file contains all the actual settings for talking to our Azure function in particular, so our functions in particular. So that's what we need to modify now. So download that and then open up config.js, and we just need to modify the URI prefix and then add the particular access codes, the proper access codes for each of our operations. So that we can invoke the functions properly. So if we go back to the Function App portal and we'll just click on Add Comment, then you can see there's this function URL listed at the top. So if we highlight that and copy it and go back to our editor, and we'll have to clean this up a bit, but we'll just copy it in here. All right, we don't want the code in there. Basically, we want everything up to a WAC API, and then make sure there's a trailing slash on the end of that. So mine's commentfunkapp.azurewebsites.net, WAC API. Okay, so that's the first one. So since we already copied the add comment URI, I'm going to do this. We'll copy it here. Now, in this case, we want this suffix here. We want add comment. Question mark and then this URI parameter. So I'm going to remove that. I'll just save this real quick. We'll go back and do the others as well for delete comment and get comments. Just real briefly, this code this code is basically an access code that allows you you can create one or more of these access codes. One is created for you automatically for each function that you define. You can create others, and the idea is basically you hand these codes out to individual applications that are going to call your functions, and you're able to allow or deny access to your application logic, your function logic itself, on a per code basis. So if you have an application which is misbehaving, or somebody gets a hold of this URI with this code and then tries to, do like a DDoS kind of scenario or something on your function app, then you can just simply deny access to your function logic using with that particular code, and then that misbehaving application would be locked out from further accessing your code. So that's just kind of why that code exists. So there is a different one for each of these functions. So let's click on some of the others. We have the delete function. We'll go back to our editor. There we go. Save that. And then for get comments, we'll do the same. I believe there's also a way you can actually use the same code across all of the functions if you're interested in that as well. I'm just illustrating using separate codes per function. Okay, so I think we're good there. Okay, so now that we've updated our local copy of config.js, now we want to upload that and the HTML and everything for our app, our React application. We want to upload that to Blob Storage so that it'll be accessible and we can access our app. So to do that, we'll first go back to the portal and get out of our function app. And we're going to open up our storage account that was created when we created our function app. So mine is called CommentFunk. Going to open this up, and what I want to do is create a new blob container into which I can then copy my application assets. In order to make that as easy as possible, so if I click on under Blob Service, if I click on Containers, I want to add a new container here. I've got an existing one which is just for my function app. I don't want to touch that one. Not interested in that one at this point. So I want to call this one a special name called $root. If I do that, then this allows me to directly, you'll see in a moment, it kind of simplifies the URI that or the URL that you need to use to access the HTML, the React application, when we type in the URL for it. Instead of having to specify the container name in the URL, we can actually skip it because we're using this special name that Azure Blob Storage supports called $root. We can include it if we want to, but we can also skip it. So we'll use $root, and then we want to use the blob access type, which basically gives, by default, gives everybody read-only access to anything that's in this particular container. So I'm going to click Create. So that's created for me, easy enough. So there's no easy way to upload stuff into your container from the portal. So I'm going to use a separate tool to actually do the upload. I'm going to use something called Microsoft Azure Storage Explorer. Some of you may be familiar with this already. If you're not, just Google or Bing Microsoft Azure Storage Explorer. It's just a simple, straightforward download. It runs, it's a client app that runs locally on your machine. Once you download that, log in with your Azure credentials, you'll see all of your storage accounts. In my case, I've got my CommentFunk storage account. I've got my blob containers under it. Looks like I need to refresh it. So here we go. Refresh and blob containers. And yeah, there's my $root container. So now what I need to do is I want to drag all of the assets, or I can just click upload. I'll just upload the HTML and JavaScript from my application. So I'm going to go to, let's see, serverless Azure client, and I want to upload all three of these files here. Click open. Rest of this is fine. Okay, so yeah, it actually didn't take very long at all. So all that stuff got, it's just a couple of small files. So all that stuff got uploaded very quickly. And now everything's in my container, so I'm almost ready to browse to this and to use it. Okay, so I've got one last thing that I need to do in here while I'm still here. I'm going to right-click on my index.html, and I'm going to select this menu item, Copy URL to Clipboard. So recall that that because we're using the blob access type in this particular container, we by default everybody, the whole world, gets read-only access to everything that's in this container, as long as you navigate to you know the URL and you navigate to that correct URL. So the nice thing about that, again, is the point is we don't want to have to deal, because this is a serverless application, we don't want to have to deal with a web server and configure it, spin it up and configure it, all that kind of stuff. We're just going to take advantage of the fact that Azure Storage will serve up static content for us using a URL. So we want to grab that URL, and before we browse to it, we do actually have one extra bit of configuration we have to do. We have to configure core support in our Azure function. So if you go back to the portal and the Azure function and then click on Configure Cores, we get this list of items or this list of origins, URLs, from which we're going to allow requests to come into our Azure functions. So this is a standard, if you're familiar with web development at all. This is just the standard cores configuration you have to do for any time you have cross-origin requests that are going to be happening from one domain to another. It's the same exact thing. So we're just configuring that here in this list. So I'll save that. So yeah, so now we can make requests from any resource that originates from our blob storage. We can make requests into our Azure function. By default, if we didn't put this item in the list, then we wouldn't be able to make that request. It would be denied. So we'll close that out. All right, so I think we are all set. So now I'm going to open another browser window, and I'll paste in the URL that we copied, same one. And you can see it comes from our blob storage, it goes to index.html. You can see we actually have the $root container name in here. I'm going to take that out you can leave it in if you want to, it's the same thing, but I'm going to take it out to illustrate the fact that because we're using that special name, that container name, we don't have to include it in the URL. And it just kind of cleans up the URL a little bit, makes it a little bit easier and nicer. So if I browse there, then you can see I'll open up F12 Chrome tools, so you can see that we can see the requests as they go by. And because I've been doing some testing, I happen to already have one item in this database, and so you can see that here. And you can see every 5 seconds, basically the way this application works is every 5 seconds it wakes up from a loop and it makes a request to our get comments function, just to list all of the comments on the screen. And we can add new ones if we want to. So hello from Azure. You can see if I zoom in after I add that request, you can, or add that comment, you can see here's the actual request, network request to our Azure function. And again, we're still making calls to our API. If I remove the first one, you can see that I get a delete comment call as well. All right, and that is a basic serverless application setup in Azure. I will leave a detailed description of how to set all this stuff up, how to do all this stuff on my GitHub repository. I'll leave a link to it in the video description here on Channel 9, so you can follow along in written form if you need to. If you have any questions, follow up on anything that we covered, please feel free to leave a comment, and I can get back to you that way. I appreciate everybody watching. Have a great day.